Hello everyone, and thank you for coming to my presentation. I'm Oana Bolmo, a PhD student at EPFL, and today I'm going to present to you Triad, a system creating synergies between memory, disk, and log in log-structured key-value stores. This work was done partly at EPFL and partly at Nutanix. Key-value stores are prevalent in today's cloud applications. They're simple data stores used, for instance, for logging, messaging, or online shopping. They typically have simple operations, for example, updates or reads. Key-value stores can be either distributed or running on a single machine, either stored completely in memory, or they can be persistent. In this talk, we're going to focus on persistent key-value stores which run on a single machine. This is the category in which Triad falls. One of the classic approaches in building persistent key-value stores is the log structure merge, or LSM, design, because it allows updates to be absorbed in memory and then written in batches sequentially to disk. In a nutshell, today I'm going to present to you Triad, our LSM system which achieves up to 2 times throughput increase on production workloads. On a high level, we do this by reducing background I/O in the LSM structure. I will give you more details about our techniques soon. Two advantages of Triad is that the throughput gain is achieved while being transparent to the workload and while preserving LSM semantics. Now, many of you might know this already, but just to make sure that we're all on the same page, I will give a description of LSMs. An LSM key-value store is structured as follows. It has a memory component and a disk component. The memory component is typically a sorted data structure, such as a skip list, and the disk component is structured into several levels, where each level can contain several sorted files called SS tables. As far as the operation flow is concerned, updates, inserts or deletes, finish completely in memory. In addition, they can be logged into a commit log in order to be able to recover the data in case of failures. The reads go first to memory, and if the key isn't found, it is searched on disk, level by level, until it is found or until we reach the final level. LSMs also have maintenance operations which run in the background. The first operation is flushing. During flushing, in the background, the data is moved as is from memory to an SS table on level 0. Flushing can be triggered either when the memory component is full, so after a flush, the system looks like this, or it can also be triggered when the commit log is full. You might wonder why commit logs can trigger flushes as well. The intuition is that we'd like to limit the size of the commit log in order to limit the recovery time in case of a crash. Going back to LSM background operations, the second main background operation is compaction. During compaction, files from a higher level are merged into files from a lower level, discarding deleted records and duplicate keys. Let's look at an example of compaction. This figure shows an LSM with a couple of levels in blue. The SS tables are shown in gray, and there's a key K shown in red, which is written from memory to L0. So it is written and highlighted in yellow. When compaction occurs, K is going to be merged in a level 1 SS table. So it is rewritten to disk. As compaction happens from levels above to levels below, K keeps getting rewritten. And in some cases, K might propagate down to the last level of the LSM. If this is the case, it will have been written n plus 1 times to disk. This unnecessary rewriting of keys is called write amplification. Write amplification is an established metric in LSMs that quantifies the amount of such rewrites to disk. Also, this doesn't happen just for one key, as I shown in the simple example. Actually, it is happening for all the keys in the system, so entire files can be rewritten at each iteration of the compaction operation. The main insight of this work is that these LSM background operations are in such severe competition for compute and storage resources with the user operations, such that the user operations are significantly impacted. And to get an idea about how significant the impact of background operation can be on performance, we devised an experiment. We took RocksDB, one of the state-of-the-art LSMs, and a version of RocksDB in which we removed the flashing and compaction operations. On the x-axis of the plot, we show a uniform and a skewed workload, where 10% of the data is accessed 90% of the time. And on the y-axis, we have the number of operations per second, so higher is better. RocksDB is shown in gray, and the modified version of RocksDB with no flashing and compaction is shown in blue. Now, even if the background operations were deactivated for the blue RocksDB, both key value stores have the same on-disk SS-stable structure to begin with. They were pre-initialized. So both versions of RocksDB need to go to disk for reads. Moreover, the commit log was also activated in both cases. So this blue version of RocksDB can give us an idea of the impact of the background operation, even if it's not correct. And this impact is high. The difference in throughput that we have measured was up to 3 times. Now, having seen this, our main goal is to decrease the background operations overhead in order to increase user throughput. And let me tell you how we did this in Triad. Triad is a system with 3 components, each of them targeting a different element of the LSM architecture, each of them solving a different problem that we identified was stemming from write amplification. Triad Mem is targeting the memory component and is designed for skewed workloads. It aims to improve write amplification due to both flashing and compaction. Second, Triad Disk is targeting the disk component for workloads that have a less dramatic skew than the ones handled by Triad Mem. Its main improvement upon write amplification is for the compaction operation. Finally, Triad Log is targeting the commit log, and it's designed to handle workloads that are close to uniform distribution. Its main contribution towards reducing write amplification lies in the flashing operation. These 3 complementary techniques, when combined, give Triad. Because of the timing constraints, I will leave Triad Disk out of the talk, but if you'd like to know more about it, you're welcome to read about it in the paper. So let me start by presenting Triad Mem. I said that Triad Mem was helpful when the workloads were skewed. So let's have a look at what happens when the workloads are skewed. Assume that there's this one key that's very popular, call it K1, and it keeps getting updated. In the memory component, K1's value will be overwritten. However, in the commit log, since it is just a file where the incoming key value pairs are appended, all the values associated to K1 will be logged. Let's say that now we write a different key, K2, and then we write K1 again, and again, and again. And eventually this will cause the commit log to get full, triggering a flash. Now, in the case of high data skew, the flash memory components will mostly be small, and they will most likely all contain the popular key K1. And this is a problem not only for flashing, but also for compaction, as I will show now. To continue with the example, now imagine that K1 exists in all of the files on L0, and it also exists on one of the SS tables on L1. So the SS table from L0 highlighted in yellow is chosen to be compacted into L1. And the 2 green SS tables are the ones that have overlap. The yellow SS table is merged into L1, and all the circled information is rewritten to disk. It's interesting to see that for the first green SS table on level 1, the file is rewritten only because of that one key overlap for the popular key. A similar thing happened for the second SS table on level 0. So again, the 3 circled files are written to disk with the merged information from level 0. As you see, even in this very small example, the first level 1 SS table was rewritten to disk twice because of only one key. So this illustrates how skewed workloads can also impact compaction in addition to flashing. So what's our solution? In Triad Mem, The idea is to separate the hot keys from the cold keys. So we do it as follows. We keep the hot keys in memory. We would flash only the cold keys to L0. And finally, we would keep the most recent values of the hot keys in a new commit log. So if we take our example, K1 would be kept in memory, and only K2 to Kn are flushed. Also, the most recent value of K1, which is V1n, is kept in the commit log. In this way, if the flush is triggered by the commit log getting full and the memory component isn't full yet, we could delay the flush by only cleaning the commit log and keeping the freshest values, hence avoiding to write to disk altogether. The solution is well suited for skewed workloads, first because it avoids these unnecessary flashes triggered by the commit log getting full, and second, because it avoids compacting the hotkeys multiple times. So to sum up, triad mem is good for skewed workloads. It reduces flushing write amplification because less data from memory is written to disk, and it reduces compaction write amplification because it avoids repeatedly compacting hotkeys. Let us now look at triad log. Back to our example again. We have either the memory component or the commit log that trigger a flush. And the memory component is written to disk. Notice how just after the memory component has been flushed, we have the same data on disk twice. Once in the level 0 SS table that was just flushed, and once in the commit log that's about to be discarded. So since the data that is being flushed to disk exists on disk already, our idea was to use the commit log as level 0 SS tables instead. This way, the background I/O due to flushing the memory component can be completely avoided. Actually, it's almost completely avoided, because converting the commit log into an SS table isn't completely straightforward. The main problem that arises when converting the commit log to an SS table has to do with the structure of the two files. SS tables are sorted, while the commit logs are not. Therefore, in order to be able to maintain a structure in the commit log, we have a field in the memory component called the commit log index. The commit log index is similar to the SS table index, and it says at what position in the commit log we can find the most recent value associated to that key. For instance, for K1, the commit log index will be 3, because in the commit log, the most recent value associated to K1, which is V1 prime, is at the third entry. Now, when flushing, we only need to flush this small commit log index from memory and simply discard the keys and values that were stored in the memory component. After the index is flushed, it will be associated to the commit log that is already on disk, thus forming a new SS table format based on the commit log. This format only exists at level 0 of the disk, and afterwards, during compaction to the lower levels, the commit log SS tables will be transformed into regular SS tables, as we saw before. It's also important to see that the commit log indexes for the SS tables on level 0 are still kept in memory in order to help read performance, instead of going to disk twice to read from the commit log and index and from the commit log, we would only read from the commit log. And this isn't a very, very important problem because the number of files that exist on level 0 is typically small. So a typical proportion of the data that is stored on level 0 is 1% of the entire data. So in a nutshell, triad log works best for uniform workloads because the commit log would contain fewer duplicate values, hence the space in the commit log would be used more efficiently. The main idea behind the technique is to create SS tables from commit logs directly, therefore removing the need to flush the memory component to disk and thus decreasing the background I/O. So back to the big picture, triad has three techniques acting at the three main components of the LSM system: the memory, the disk, and the log. The techniques are complementary and are working simultaneously, targeting different workloads. Moreover, triad is transparent to the workloads, so no prior knowledge about the workloads is needed in order to get the benefits. Now let's see how triad performs. We compare triad to RocksDB, which is one of the most popular state-of-the-art LSM key-value stores. And we evaluate Riot in a variety of production and synthetic workloads, out of which I will only present a few, but if you're interested, there are more experiments in our paper. The two metrics we focus on are throughput and write amplification. Finally, our code is available at that link. I gave an intuition about write amplification in the beginning of the presentation, but now I would like to be a bit more precise. So in the evaluation, we measured the overall system write amplification as opposed to the write amplification per key, and we defined it as the total data written to storage over the data written at the application layer. We compute this ratio by taking into account the amount of flushed and compacted bytes. This plot shows two Nutanix production workloads on the x-axis and the throughput on the y-axis, so higher is better. We have RocksDB in gray and Triad in yellow. And the first workload is closer to a uniform distribution, and the second one is skewed. We can see that the throughput is improved by up to two times in the uniform workload, and that it is relatively stable. This is because Triad's complementary techniques make it adaptable to the workload type. Furthermore, let's now have a look at the major, the second major metric in our study, which is write amplification. So the plot presents the same experiment as the previous one, with the difference that now we have write amplification on the y-axis, so now lower is better. We can see that write amplification is decreased by up to four times, and that the write amplification is low and uniform for the two workloads, again due to the fact that Triad can adapt depending on the workload. So these two plots show how Triad works as a whole with all of its components activated. But what is the contribution of each of its elements? To get an idea of the contribution of Triad's separate techniques, let's look at the following throughput breakdown. These two plots show a throughput breakdown for two synthetic workloads. The upper plot shows a skewed workload, where 1% of the keys are updated 99% of the time, and the lower plot shows a uniform workload. Throughput is shown on the y-axis, so again, higher is better, and as before, we have Triad in yellow, RocksDB in gray, and in addition, Triad Mem in red and Triad Log in green. So I would like to point out that the red and the green columns were obtained by deactivating the two other techniques in Triad. So it's not the contribution of each of the elements when all of them are working together, but it is the contribution of the two techniques running separately. So we can see that for the skewed workload, Triad Mem, which was designed for this purpose, is achieving 97% of Triad's throughput. On the other hand, for the uniform workload, Triad Log is the technique that is the most efficient as expected, achieving 96% of Triad's throughput on its own. This was a small sample of our results, but if you'd like to see more about the production and synthetic workloads, as well as a detailed performance breakdown of our three techniques, you can find them in the paper. Finally, Triad Disk, the technique that I left out, is covered in detail in the paper as well. So we aren't the first to look at this problem. There has been a large amount of work already done in the field. LevelDB is the first LSM key value store system implemented by Google, and many of the following LSMs designed are stemming from LevelDB. However, LevelDB doesn't look into the write amplification problem. A number of other systems tackle the high write amplification problem, and the various LSM systems already address this issue. Out of these, several techniques could also be combined with Triad in order to further boost performance. Moreover, Bepsilon trees provide a different approach to a different data structure that also aims to improve write amplification. However, none of the techniques above employ the hot-cold key separation at the memory level, nor do they use the commit log as a pseudo SS table. Finally, similar concepts to our hot-cold key separation technique are used in SSDs at the flash translation layer. To conclude, in this talk, I presented Triad, an LSM key value store with high throughput and low write amplification. Triad employs complementary techniques for skewed and uniform workloads and for workloads in between. And it's reducing the impact on user throughput of the LSM background operations. This is all from my side. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'll gladly take your questions.
Great talk. So have you thought about the use case where the LSM is not used for persistent storage, but is used for something like a cache, and how that would impact your design?
So thank you for the question. Do you mean completely in memory, or just?
Not necessarily. Could be flash based, for example.
Mm. So we haven't looked at this use case in particular, but do you have something more specific in mind? Or?
Yeah, so in some use cases, for example, RocksDB is actually used as a cache, not just as a persistent store. So some of the, for example, the commit log could maybe be, some of the problems with the commit log could probably be avoided.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, okay, if we disable the commit log altogether, of course, we won't be able to use the third technique that I presented. But still, using the memory and the disk technique together, you would be able to take more advantage, I mean, in a smarter way, let's say, of the memory component. So I would assume that the performance for something like caching would also be better.
Nice talk, thank you. When you do the evaluation, do the measurements, I'm just wondering how large your store is in terms of number of levels in that store, LSM tree, how many levels are there?
Thanks for the question. So in the evaluation, the most that we saw for the number of levels in the LSM was 5-6.
Yeah, if you have 5-6 levels, we know that the compaction cost pretty significant and proportional to the number of levels. And your technique specifically trying, I think, log, right? That basically only removes the cost for the very first level, right? And that is just a fraction of total compaction cost. You remove that part. So I just wondering how you can just have like a 4 times improvement of threshold. Could you explain?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So indeed, when we use triad log and triad disk actually, the modifications that we make are only at the memory component and level 0 to level 1. But what we have noticed is that by trying to leverage, basically, by playing with the skew of the workload with these three techniques, we avoid the trickle-down effect that I showed in the beginning, in the example. So even by modifying at the very top of the hierarchy, we manage to avoid these cascading compactions, or not to avoid, but to decrease the cascading compactions that would occur without doing anything.
Okay, yeah, another thing is you say you exploit the locality, right? And you basically avoid writing the hot data into the store. But this key value store is a store. I think usually in a production system, ahead of the store, you usually have a key value cache. The cache basically will absorb most of these hot requests, right? So hot requests will not reach to your store. I think that case, some advantage will not be, you know, demonstrated in the design, right? If you don't have that strong locality in this workload, right? It's just a comment.
So I'm not sure I fully understand your question. Maybe we can talk about this after the talk. But we haven't tried experiments with the cache on top of the LSM.
Thank you. I'm Singapore from Rubrik. So I was wondering whether you have thought about this technique can be applied to the distributed setting. Like, so you guys focused on the single node persistent, but like, can it be applied to the like distributed persistent key value stores?
Thanks for the question. Well, we focused on the single machine setting, but thinking about it now, I don't see why you couldn't apply similar techniques, at least for the memory and the disk level, locally, in order to have a better outcome.
Yeah, but you haven't explored the design for that, right?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, I'm Sajin Parr from Stanford, and like,
I'm curious, for when flushing happens in triad log, do you have to copy entire index? Like entire, you have to scan entire hash table and then like copy that to disk?
So yes, when the flushing happens, the index is taken from memory and written to disk, but it is already sorted by keys because the data structure in memory is sorted by keys.
Oh, I see, so like just copying entire thing to disk.
Yes.
But like, what's the object size in your mind? Like,
so the object size that we worked on for this for this paper was 8-byte keys and 255-byte values. And then the index is just 8-byte, small.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Niklas Semmler, TU Berlin. I was wondering, in the triad mem strategy, you would keep keys longer in memory, like skewed keys longer in memory. So do you risk to lose more on false?
Do you risk to lose
more data when a fault occurs?
No, because we also keep them in the log. So when a flush occurs and we keep the hotkeys in memory, then the most recent value associated to those hotkeys is going to be copied in a new log. So the new log would be shorter.
But it's still kept in memory, right?
The log is on disk.
Oh, it's okay. Good. Thank you.